Open your Bible to Proverbs 24. I hope you have your Bible. And if I may ask you this morning, I'd like for you to keep your Bible open. And I'd like for you to follow with me. It's impossible that I preach to you from a given text this morning and leave it. I have to share with you the scripture. Proverbs 24, first of all. My favorite season is upon us, fall time. And my favorite thing to do in the fall, in the autumn season, I enjoy driving. I like watching the leaves fall. I like to see the leaves change. And one of our favorite recreational activities is to just take a drive, you know, and enjoy the scenery. And in a way, that's what I'm going to do this morning. Rather than get up here and preach some big, hard message to you. And young people, I want you, boy, you to listen. Church, adults, I want you to listen. Whether you're just beginning life, or if you're in the middle of your life, or you're at the end of your life, presuming that you know where you're at, the message still applies. It doesn't matter where you are on the scale, in the race, the message applies. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, the message applies. Because the message is not so much about yesterday, but about tomorrow, today. It's not so much about who you used to be, but who are you going to be? The devil will do more to remind you of who you used to be and who you're not.
Right.
But God wants to let you know who you can be.
Believe.
And what you should be. We hear a lot of preaching about what a Christian ought to be. Well, you ought to be this, you ought to be that. But more than anything, I want to try to inspire you this morning to be somebody. Matter of fact, that's the title of my message, is to be somebody. And I hope you'll listen on purpose. If you have no interest in being somebody, then take a nap. You have my permission. If you're content with what you are and happy never being any more than who you are and what you are today, then tune me out. Take a deep breath. Get comfortable. And just snooze for a little bit. Now, some of you have a right to do that. It'd be easy to do that. But otherwise, shake yourself, fight it. And let me talk to you for a few minutes, what's on my heart. I want to encourage you. With Christ, it's never too late to be somebody. Jesus Christ is the life changer. In our world, if I may use the term, he's the game changer. There's a football team out in Arizona, the Arizona Wildcats. The other night, about 3 weeks ago, they were down in a game. There's four quarters in a game. It looked like there was no way in the world Arizona had a chance to win, but would you believe that in the fourth quarter of that game, they scored 36 points and won the game? That's a lot of points. A lot of teams don't score 36 points in four quarters. Somehow, some way, somebody stepped up and became a game changer. Something happened in that game. First of all, some people didn't give up, and somehow, some way, something happened that was a game changer. And the loser became the winner. Well, I want to tell you, because it blesses my heart, that it seems like today that Christians are the losers. The world would have you to believe that way. But oh, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about a day that's coming where the prey is going to, the P-R-E-Y, the rabbit, is going to turn around and chase the wolf. And we're going to win. Can you imagine seeing that? Can you imagine seeing a coyote chasing? How many of you have been to church camp? The neighbor went squirrel hunting yesterday, guys, and come down. He told Mom on the way down that he's seen a 150-pound bear up in the woods at church camp. So next year, we're going to go look for him. And when we find him, Adam, you're going to wrestle him. I'm going to have you going to wrestle that black bear up there. And can you imagine to see a coyote chasing a rabbit, and all of a sudden the rabbit turned around saying, What are you doing chasing me? I'm going to chase you from now on. Something happened. I mean, something transformed, something changed. There's a Bible verse, and basically all I'm going to be doing is giving you Bible verses this morning. Remember, if you're content with what you are, if you're content with what your life is, there's a reason why. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite football stories. Alabama Crimson Tide is not my favorite team, but they had a coach for years named Bear Bryant. How many of you ever heard of Paul Bear Bryant? Well, you ever heard of the motivational speeches? I happened to find one of his. I thought it would be bombastic. I thought he would be yelling at pumping everybody up, but he didn't do that. He had his guys in there in the room, and he had a chalkboard up here. He told his team, he said, "Now, fellas," he said, "I want to show you who you are." He said, "I want you to understand something." He said, "This is what you men are." He said, "Pretty much," he said, "every one of y'all are eights." He wrote on there. He said, that's what you are. He said, "That's about it." He said, "That's about average." He said, "I know you." He said, "We're a bunch of eights." He said, "Now this team we're going to be playing," he said, "now I want to be honest with you. I want you to know," he said, "they're tens." He said, "They're better than us." He said, "Really, according to this, if that's all we go on, we really don't have a chance of winning. And most people don't think we have a chance." He said, "But," he said, "let's assume something." He said, "Let's assume this week that we go into practice and we practice hard as we can." He said, "Let's assume that maybe we can bring our eight up to maybe a nine." He said, maybe even a couple of us can bring it up to maybe even a ten. He said, "Now we're even." He said, let's take this assumption a little further. He said, "Let's assume that they look at us and see that we're eights and they're tens." He said, "Let's assume that maybe they don't work as hard this week." And he said, "Maybe they lose a point." He said, "All of a sudden, the eight has a chance to beat the ten." Yesterday in college football, almost all the top teams lost, because the underdog believed they could change the score. Some teams that were 21-point underdogs won the game. Say, "How do you know the spread? Brother, you all don't know J.R. Combs very well. You all don't know him very well." Hey, he can tell you all of them. Now listen to me. I want you to know this morning that you can be somebody. Amen. If you ever are somebody for Christ, you'll never know it. But you can be somebody. You see, that's a contradiction, no? Because the people that think they're somebody are really nobodies. But the people that will let God make them somebodies, they'll know where it come from. And in the end, they'll be somebody. I want to just give you some verses this morning. Look in Proverbs chapter number 24. Verse 29. Let's look at verse 29. Say not, I will do so to him as he had done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. And then in the next 30 through 34, I want you to notice these verses. I don't ever want you to forget them. I want to try to paint a picture for you. Let's look up here just for a minute before we read them. I know that it's tempting to go ahead and read ahead, but obviously we're going to read a story in a minute, a brief capsulized story. I'm going to try my best to look at everybody in the eyeball. I want to try to keep your attention just simply from, because I feel like we're just having an eye-to-eye conversation this morning when I'm preaching to you. I enjoy conversation, don't you? I enjoy talking to my fellow Christians. And that's really what I'm doing this morning, is just an eye-to-eye conversation with you. But this man here that we're going to read about was a traveling man. In those days, they didn't drive cars. You ever notice something along the road that you had never seen before? You're driving along a road and you've never seen something before because you're riding with somebody else and you have the opportunity to look around. A lot of people never notice anything because nowadays, because all the time they're driving now, they're watching the TV screen or they're watching their computer or their phone or doing something else. But I like to look around and see what's going on. I like to see things. You ride with me. Man, I like to look at deer, and I like to look for stuff, and I'm pointing out things, you know. And I mean, I enjoy riding and looking at stuff. But this fella, on his walk, on his journey, he had been impressed by a certain estate. He had marked it, and in his mind, he had seen, and of all the places he traveled, I believe that he saw this place and said, wow. Whoever lives there is somebody. Whoever lives there, boy, they know how to really make things look nice. But one day in his travels, he hadn't been by there for very long. Maybe he had somebody with him and he said, we're going to go out of our way a little bit. He said, I want you to see an estate that is astounding. He said, I never met the people that live there. He said, but boy, whoever they are that live, they must be somebody because they really, things are incredible. I mean, there's no place kept as well as this estate of this person. We're going to go out of our way a little bit because I want you to see it. And he was so surprised when he went by to see it, at what had happened to it, that it's noted for us in the Bible that what once had been a beautiful estate, now, let's look at it. Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Void means empty. Listen to me just for a minute, especially, again, I'm not just preaching to our young people, I'm preaching to all of us here. Void of understanding, meaning empty-headed. Can I talk to you just for a minute? And can I tell you that television and entertainment and all that stuff, that's pretty much what it does, just make you empty-headed. Just empty-headed. You say, well, I go to school. I went to school once too. But I've learned more since I got out of school than I learned while I was in school. Because I want to know things.
Right.
I don't want to be void of understanding.
Amen.
I want to know what's going on. You know, if you have a conversation with somebody, you ought not just say, duh. You ought to know some things. Look what the Bible said. I went by the field of the man void of understanding, and lo, that word lo means he was surprised. He says, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, implying that he had seen it aforetime, and it was different. But some do nothing. Some slothful person had moved in and taken what was once an incredible estate and had turned it into a mess because he had no care about what it looked like. Look what the Bible says. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. He had seen the stone wall before and been impressed by it. He had seen, wow, what a stuff. And he probably, the fellow traveling with him, he said, wait till you see the stone wall. It's incredible. And when he got there, Chuck, it was all broke down. Someone just said, well, just leave it. Look what it said. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Isn't that something? Can you imagine just letting everything fall apart? Think for a minute. Just think for a minute. You know, that's what's happened to our country. The land of the free and the home of the proud. Not anymore. The home of the free. We used to take pride in America, take pride in our country. It meant something.
Yes, it did.
Meant something, but not much anymore. You know, people used to go to ball games in the 1950s and 1960s. You know how they dressed at a ball game? You look at all the men had on white shirts and ties, well-pressed and neat clothes. Sometimes I love to watch Andy Griffith a lot at home. But can I tell you that I almost weep when I watch it? Mm-hmm. Because I see the difference.
Comparison, that's right.
I see people today walking around without men, so-called men, boys, walking around with no belt on and their britches hanging down and their rear end showing.
Yeah. Every day.
And I think, dear God, where's pride and sense of integrity going in our country?
Yeah.
There was a day in America whenever no man would curse and speak bad around a woman. And if he did, somebody would call him on it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Up and down our road walked a fellow one day, and JB's dog went out and nipped him on the heel. One day we were out there, my wife and I, he said, who owns that blanking dog? He said, that blanking dog bit me. And my wife was there, and I told him, I said, buddy, I said, you're going to have a whole lot more trouble to deal with than that dog if you don't quit talking that way in front of my wife. He said, oh, I'm sorry. That's the way you ought to be. I said, don't ever do it again.
Yeah, Abe.
You understand, there ought to be some pride about things, but today, girls talk worse than the boys do.
That's the truth. Hear it all the time.
Listen to me this morning. This is not a rant. You come to a church here where the preacher is not worried about preaching impressive sermons. I'm worried about preaching what's on my heart, what God gives me, because I want to help you.
Right.
I want to encourage you. I'm not worried about making you happy, making you smile, or any of that stuff, but I want you to be somebody. It's no coincidence. I thank God for these young people here. They know me. They know that this is what I believe. I mean, you come to church camp. Hey, listen. Hey, but I feel that way about our church. We don't have to be the biggest church around, but we ought to be somebody for God.
Do what you can be.
We ought to care. This is all in my message, but we ought to have some standards. There's nothing wrong with having. There ought to be some distinction.
Amen.
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 It bothers me when I see churches advertise the fact that they are no different than the world. Because I am different. And you're different. You're bought with a price.
Amen.
What? Know you not that you're bought with a price? The blood of Jesus Christ purchased my soul and redeemed me. And someday I'm going to go to live in a place called heaven.
Amen.
Where the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper and the gates of pure gold. That's something. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, that's something. Hey, listen, I understand this morning. I'm not talking about a pride. I'm talking about if I get to it, you'll see that to be somebody for God means to be nobody. But yet, at the same time, to be somebody.
Right.
Look at Daniel chapter 1, if you would. In your Bible, Daniel chapter 1. There's no points to my sermons, really. Like one preacher said, when I'm done, I'm done. You know, my sermons are like helicopters. They go flop in the air. When I'm done, I just land. I don't have a runway. I don't have anything like that. I just want to get a point across to you. Oh, I've got a lot more to say than what I will say, but. Daniel chapter 1, look what the Bible says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Young men, he's talking about here. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. He's talking about children here. That could stand in the king's palace and speak with understanding. Listen to me, boys and girls. From the youngest to the oldest, look, children, young people. It's a good thing to learn. It's a good thing to learn. You see, I tell my kids this. If they don't want to learn, they don't have to. If they don't want to sit and listen to their, I tell my boys, if they don't want to sit and listen to their mother trying to teach them at home, there's a reason why my kids are homeschooled. There, it's because I want them to learn some things. I want them to know. I don't want them to just beat in time. It's not just about beating in time to say, well, I went to school and I graduated, now I can go do nothing. I want them to know some things. To learn some things.
Right.
But you got to want to learn.
Yeah.
You got to want to know. These children, the Bible says here, was no blemish. They were well favored. Why? Now notice this. This is when they were at home. When they were in Jerusalem, where it was easy. They were all taught and trained in the ways of God. And by the way, the Bible says God is a God of knowledge. Do you know that? So knowledge is bad. Know the knowledge of good and evil. You don't have man left to himself will generally learn evil. Listen, this morning, not by accident, I sat down with Bub and was watching, Travis was watching with me, and we watched the story being told about two 12-year-old, 11 and 12-year-old girls that stabbed their friend 19 times, mm-hmm. left her in the woods for dead, because they had been on the internet and they came to be acquainted with a fictitious character called Slender Man. How many of you have heard of Slender Man? Raise your hand. And in this story, these girls brought their friend over for a birthday slumber party. The parents dropped her off, assuming they were going to go to the skating rink. But the girls had already planned at the skating rink, and that night they had planned to cut her throat while she was asleep, to slit her throat and let her bleed to death in the bed. But they didn't do that. Then they planned to take her to a bathroom in a park, and they didn't do that. They wanted to go to the bathroom because there was a drain in it so all the blood could go down the drain. 12-year-old girls. So finally they took her into the woods, and the one friend sat on her, and she told the other friend, she said, just go ballistic, go wild, and stabbed her friend 19 times. And a fella on a bicycle shouldn't even have been going down that road, but he went down that road and he found the little girl and they were able to save her life. Now listen to me, that is where our world is today. That's the knowledge of evil. You don't need to know evil stuff. You don't need to know that kind of stuff.
Right.
God is a God of knowledge. Also, He's a God of light. You need to know the Word of God.
Right.
You need to come to church and listen and learn. Not just at church, but throughout the week. We need to fill our minds with this book right here, with the things of God and good
things.
That's
right. Amen.
We don't need to fill our minds with evil things. We need to know the right things. Listen to me. Look what the Bible says. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto them named Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah the name of Abednego, from which we get Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested a young boy, requested of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. He said, Daniel, he said, I'd like to do it. He said, but if you don't do what the king says, then you're going to look bad and it's going to get me killed. Because it's my job to get you to do what the king said and what everybody else is doing. Because surely the best thing to do in life is what everybody else is doing. And if you don't do what everybody else is doing, what the king said to do, you said you ought to always obey what the king says. Well, you ought to read your Bible, amen?
Yeah, amen.
I wish you would read your Bible. I wish you'd read it before communism sets in, amen? I wish we had some Christians that would do what the King of Kings says, not what the king, little K, says, amen? You can take that for any way you want it, but that's kind of the way I think. And it's pretty much ingrained in my heart, amen? And I don't think I can change any far. I think I've come too far to change. Amen.
Me too. Amen.
Listen, I know who the king is.
Amen.
Look here. And he said, you're going to get me in trouble. But he said, verse number 11, then said Daniel to Belshazzar, the prince of the eunuchs, and said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, prove thy servants, I beg you, I beseech you, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. He said, just give us enough to get by on. And after 10 days, you see if our refusal to drink what the king has doesn't make us look better than the rest of them. That's a young lad, a young boy. Now the rest of them, they knew some things. They've been trained the same way Daniel. But for some reason, and I cannot tell you what it is, all I can do is hope that you'll look inside of your heart and your soul, and for some reason, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat.
Praise God.
I can't tell you why. I can't tell you what is the game changer. But you have to want to change. You have to want to be different. Basketball was my second favorite sport. I love football. But our little Christian school team had a basketball team. And we didn't have enough players. And we had to cheat and bring in my cousin, bring Chad on the team. And to bring him on, and that helped us out to give us enough players. And we were playing at a little school up in Clay County, West Virginia. You ever been to Clay County? Well, Nolan, you've been there. You come from there. And we were in this little old tiny gym playing. And the team we were playing, their point guard was his daddy. Had played at West Virginia State, but he was also the head referee. And so, boy, every time their point guard would drive the lane, you could be standing there for 45 minutes like this, but you were still blocking. So they fouled out our whole team just about. And we were losing that game. We didn't have any chance in the world of winning. And I was playing forward and had a boy about my size playing. And, man, he was out rebounding me and outplaying me. And in the third quarter, I told him, I said, man, you're killing me. I said, you're wearing me out. It's a little bit of a psychological thing. I said, man, you're wearing me out. That third quarter, I got about 18 rebounds. I got him to the place where he was content. He felt like he had bested me. I wanted him to know he was beating me. I wanted him to know he was better than me because I wanted to get an advantage. We finished the game with three players. They were inbounding the ball. We were down by one. They inbounded the ball at half court. I went out and pressured the inbound pass, and the guy threw it high. And Chad, my cousin, came and he picked the pass off and took down and drived it in. We won by one with three players versus five because we decided we were going to win. Something happened to change the game. I can't make that happen for you. Brother Mullins, it's in your life. It happened in your life. Some reason something happened. But you didn't want to be like everybody else. There's a lot of folks in this church like that. A lot of you are like that. For some reason you decided somewhere, I don't want to be what everybody else is. I don't want to be just average. I want to be something for God. Brother Anderson, you waited 8 years before you got saved because you didn't want to be like the people that just got saved every year and went back out into the world. They never knew what salvation was. I think a lot of them don't. Under conviction, God saved him. He didn't want to be that Christian that was in a church and out of church. And I don't want to be that Christian either. And I'm looking at every one of you in the God-given eyeball like the old Ron Garris used to say. I don't want to be that guy that's in and out. I don't want to be that person. I won't finish this morning, but I'll let you go home in a little bit. But listen to me. Look what the Bible says. Daniel, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance, that's your face, be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions of dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Can I tell you that if you'll decide to be different than the world, the game changer is God. If you'll decide that you don't want to just be like everybody else in this old world, doesn't care, no self-esteem, lazy, shiftless, slothful, the slothful man. How many of you like getting up in the morning? Now, a lot of times I do like. I mean, you ought to all be glad you get up in the morning. Amen? But how many of you ever got up when you didn't want to get up? Because you're supposed to.
You got to feel it.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't do a whole lot of I stuff, but I'm just talking here for a minute. You know, I never asked to go to Bible college. I didn't ask to be a preacher. And I hate that stuff. But wherever I've ever been in life, I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. I didn't want to be just like everybody else. I didn't want to be better than anybody else. But I don't want to just be content. I don't want to just be settled. The Bible says they were settled on their lees. I don't want to just get by in life. Listen to me this morning. Ecclesiastes 10:1, another verse that God used in my life, says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary," that's a medicine, "to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly to him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor."
Yeah.
Church, everybody listen to me, young people especially. Oftentimes we'll make the statement, "Well, I'll do it because everybody else is doing it." You ever heard that before? But you're not everybody else. You hear me? You're not everybody else. This is not just some lame brain motivational speech up here. You are somebody because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and saved your soul. You're somebody. I'm talking to every age group here. You are somebody. You're in reputation for wisdom and honor. You're a child of the King, a Christian. You can be somebody. Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory."
Amen.
Did you hear that? The hope of glory, what does that mean? Does that mean that Christ is in me so that I can be glorified? Christ is in me, and if you're saved, Christ is in you so that God can be glorified in your life.
Right.
Where is God? God is in heaven. I mean, the God that makes the sun come up in the east and set in the west, and He lays the leaves to change in the fall, and the beautiful sunrise and the beautiful sunsets, and He lights the skies up at night with the stars of the heaven and the moon that's up there. And all those things God does, and He gets glory for all of those. But yet His Son, Jesus Christ, God became flesh, dwelt among men, died on the cross, and Jesus died and was buried and rose again and saved you so that God can get glory out of us.
Right.
That God can be glorified in you.
God be the glory.
Amen. Well, Nolan, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, your testimony after you had hip surgery, you were there and you were laying there and you thought, "How is God getting glory out of my life? God needs it. I'm alive for one reason, and that's so that God can be glorified." I remember you telling that, I believe, in your testimony. And he walked down the hall and met a man in his 80s.
88.
88 years old, who was not saved and sat down in the hospital room with a fellow hospitalian and talked to that 88-year-old man for over an hour and was able to lead him to Jesus. Amen. So that his name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Praise God.
Listen to me a minute. You're somebody. You're a child of God.
That's right.
Do you realize that the greatest thing that a person can do is tell somebody else about Jesus Christ?
Amen. Yeah.
You say, preacher, I'd like to be somebody. I'd like to win the lottery. Yeah, Jack Whitaker, he became, wasn't that a success story?
I've met the people that he influenced. I helped bury one of them.
A friend of mine grew up and partied with his grandchildren. Got high, ended up ODing. That was a success story.
Broke his family up.
Listen, you don't have to end up on dope, kids.
That's right.
You don't have to end up drunk. You don't have to end up bitter and angry and out of church member.
That's right.
You ought to desire, as we preached last night, to be somebody for God as long as you live.
Amen.
That God will be glorified in us. That's humbling to me. I know me. And if you know you, you know you. But yet God says here in this Colossians, which Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is in you?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that He works in you mightily? He wants to. He wants to. You ever heard the story of the Apostle Paul? Boy, wasn't he somebody. Who could argue that the Apostle Paul was somebody? You know what he said? In 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He knew he was nobody. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me."
Amen.
But one, I heard you tell your testimony at church camp. Your grandfather accidentally boarded the wrong ship. Sounded like a big accident. Yet God saved you so that you could be somebody. God saved you so that you could be somebody.
That's right.
You told your testimony, orphan basically. But God saved you so that you could be somebody. Everybody here has a story.
Amen.
I wish you all could hear the stories of some of the people. Echo, you could write a book. Lorraine, you could write a book. JR, you could write a book, but I don't want to read it. But listen. I'm throwing names here and there, but I'm just throwing a few names around. But I want you to know you're somebody.
Hey.
You say, "I'm nobody." That's what the world would have you to believe. That's one of the things that irks me about our school system is they don't tell you who you are. You know who Abraham Lincoln was? He was a nobody that became a somebody because somewhere along the line someone convinced him that he could be somebody. Without Jesus, you're nothing. But with Jesus with him, you're somebody. I'll just give you this. Be somebody who's willing to become nothing. Who would argue that Jesus was somebody? But the Bible said he became of no reputation. They did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Jesus became so low on this earth that people felt like it was their duty to spit upon him.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected. I mean, have you ever felt despised or rejected? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised and we esteemed him not. Philippians 2:7 says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. To be somebody, you have to be willing to be nobody. Just a sinner saved by grace. To be somebody, you must have something inside of you, some substance. The disciples were fishermen, but they said in Acts 4:20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And the whole army was trying to figure out how to shut them up, and they couldn't, because the more they beat them and the more they imprisoned them, the more things grew. And finally somebody said, these are they that have turned the world upside down, have come hither also.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that the whole idea of Christianity came from someone being willing to be made nothing so that we could be somebody? I wish you all understood that Christianity today is not great because of how much it's willing to become like the world, but how much it's willing to be like Jesus Christ. And that the church, our churches could be great again if we were determined to be somebody for God. Mm-hmm. Not something conformed to the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed.
Amen.
Transformed. Amen. By the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Doesn't that do something for somebody that you want to say, hey, I'm created. God made me. God put me in my mama's womb as a little seed, you know, just a little no life. And a lot of people even debate if there is life there, but there is life from the very moment that you were placed in your mother's womb. Hey, God determined, he said of Isaiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hey, God put you in there and he let you live those 9 months there. And Job said it had been better for me to have died, but he didn't die. He wasn't miscarried. He was brought to full term. He was birthed, and you were birthed, and you're alive this morning, and you have life in you, and God has a purpose for you. He wants you to be somebody. You say, but my situation is bad. My home is a wreck. That's all right. Hey, from the ashes, from the mess, to wherever you are today, God wants you to be somebody for him, no matter how bad things are, how bad things seem, how bad you think you are, how low you think you are. If you'll just commit yourself to Jesus Christ and say, God, I want for your glory, for your honor, for your sake, I want to be somebody. By the way, that's the only way you'll ever be anybody.
Right.
I don't think that there are any just Christian anything.
That's right.
I had no problem at all being a garbage collector as a Christian. Because if I was a Christian garbage collector, it'd be my goal to be the very best Christian garbage collector in the world.
Right.
And I'd want to be in church. I'd be a testimony. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Game changer? Can I hear a game changer there?
Yeah.
You say, oh, we don't have a chance. There's no way we can win. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Preacher, I'm nobody. My home's a mess. My
I mean, I'm ridiculed, laughed at. Hey, that's what the world says. That's not what God says. God says He can do great things.
Right. Amen. When people used to come to our house on the farm, when they would come, I'd go up in the woods and hide
until they left. And sometimes I'd wait until they come in. I liked company. I just was nervous, you know. I'd go to the Charleston. They'd say, "Where are you from?" I'd say, "Up in the holler." I mean, I was barefooted and running around in my underwear till I was 6 or 7 years old. I revert back to that. When you go up in the farm. But listen, understand. Listen, none of us are anybody apart from Jesus Christ. But with Christ, you can be somebody.
Amen.
Acts 4:20. He said, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Be somebody who learns from everybody. One of the great statements I ever heard in my life by one of my heroes, a preacher. The Howells used to say, "Everybody has somebody. Everybody knows something I don't know. Hence, everybody becomes my teacher." You know, you can learn from everybody.
That's right.
You don't have to learn the bad things. I want to give you a verse. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As in water, face answereth to face." See, preacher, the Bible is hard to understand. Help me know how to understand it, okay? I'm going to give you how I understand Scripture, okay? How many of you ever seen Bambi before? All right. When I read this verse, the first thing I thought of was Bambi. Now see how deep I am? You won't get this from a lot of television preachers, but I'm very deep. As in water, face answereth to face. Remember when Bambi looked in the water and saw himself?
Right.
And he thought there was somebody, something else in the water that he didn't know that was him?
Yeah.
As in water, face answereth to face, so doth the heart of man. Man. You know what that means? That means that if we could open our hearts up, our deep, our inward thought, and look at each other, we're pretty much the same. There's a lot of the same in us. If we could see what's on the inside, we'd see that we're pretty much the same. The only difference is what changed our course. Think of the course you were on. Think of where you are today. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's why my dad would stand in church and testify, and with a trembling lip would say, "I thank God for His grace." And he'd say, "If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have to catch an elevator going up just to make it to hell." Thank God for His grace. Amen. See, preacher, I don't know how much life I have to live. Doesn't matter.
That's right. Make it count for Christ.
If all you have is an hour, make that hour count for Jesus.
Name, right.
Because the truth of us, none of us know how long we have.
That's right.
I told you I'd finish. I didn't say when. I walked out of the Exxon yesterday morning in Hurricane. They put in a new Dunkin' Donuts. And I had to try it before the police found it. I was on the way out, and Autumn was with me, and we were going out to the farm to do some work. And a lady walked in named Peggy Cooper. About 37, 38 years ago, she had a little boy named Paul David Cooper.
Yeah.
Paul died just a few days after his 18th birthday. But somewhere along the line, he surrendered his life to preach. And I'm standing here this morning preaching primarily because of his testimony. He just made it a few days past 18. He died with leukemia. He had 18 years. I mentioned last week my friend Dennis Morello in Huntington. He's preaching. because of the testimony of Paul Cooper.
I'm saying to you this morning, boys and girls, church, young, old, young, you can be somebody. But it all depends on Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Your life, what you do with Him, what He is to you,
how you live for Him. I'll give you one last thing. Be somebody who knows God. You say, preacher, how could I know God? Look what the Bible says in Hosea 6:1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Verse 3 says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Wouldn't you like to know God?
Yeah.
I want to know Him.
Yes.
Brother Heath, oftentimes we talk about your grandpa. You know why? Because he was somebody for God's glory. He made a difference to a lot of people. World may not know Him, but for God, you can be somebody.
Yep.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your blessings now. Lord, we pray, Father, that those that are here this morning that may not be saved would first of all realize they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and come to know Him and be saved. I pray that if there's one here this morning that doesn't know, Lord, and if this would be the day that they would hear and understand their need, then let it be so that they'd be saved. Those of us that are saved, help us to be, Lord, what You'd have us to be. That's our prayer we pray so often. Lord, it could be interpreted, help us to be somebody, but that might be misinterpreted by the world. So we pray, help us to be what You would have us to be. And Lord, I believe You'd have us to be somebody that would bring glory for Your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning not saved, would you stand? If all of us stand, but if you're here not saved, of course you can get saved. But if you are saved, don't you want to be what God would have you to be? Wouldn't you like for God to work in your life that you could be somebody for His glory, for Him? Isn't there some young person, teenager maybe, or some adult here, somebody that would say, you know, I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be content with what I am. I want to be what God wants me to be. Would you be willing to come this morning and kneel and pray and ask God to work in your life as Sister Echo plays? Would you come? Help me to be the person You'd want me to be, the testimony. And really what you're praying is, God, help me to be somebody. Somebody who will bring glory to God. First, you have to humble yourself to be that person. You have to realize that you're nothing, but God's everything. And you'd be
somebody for His glory. Play this last verse.
I trust that you pray as Sister Echo plays.